welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Praise God. Any of you looking around the congregation gathered here, any of you into video games? Any of you like playing video games? Any of you honest enough to admit that you play video games sometimes? Oh no, I can't admit that. I'm too spiritual. Well, I like video games. I play them on this as well. Praise the Lord. But video games are a really weird form of entertainment to purchase because they're so bossy. You know, a lot of games that you buy, you have to pass certain levels to get to the next stage of the game. I mean, how weird is that? You've bought something, you purchased it, you own it, and the game says, no, sorry, you're not good enough. You can't go any further. One of my favorite games is Guitar Hero, you know? Just for the moment, just there, you can imagine yourself in the light, you know, playing guitar, like Mike Close. Yes. Probably not that good, but, you know. Or maybe Brian May. He's my era, and he's got more hair than Mike. And you think you're playing away there. Now, if you've seen it, you're actually playing a plastic guitar with red, yellow, green, and red and blue buttons. So you're actually going, dum, 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 dum. Yeah. But you feel like you're a Guitar Hero. And you look down the lists, because that's what the game's called, Guitar Hero. You look down the list of songs that's coming up, and you think, oh, there's one, Knights of Cydonia by Muse. I'd like to have a go at that one. But it won't let you. Because you have to pass a certain level, and then you can jump, go up, you pass that level, and then you can go to the next bit, and you pass that level. And if you're not good enough, it just says, no. Computer says, no. You are not good enough. I mean, how weird is that? Imagine if books were like that. You know, you just go and you buy the latest novel. I recently bought The Lord of the Rings again, because I wanted to read it. You know, and I bought it on the iPad to read it on there. And so imagine you've read three chapters and all of a sudden the screen goes blank or the book closes, you know, and it says, okay, are you listening, reader? So what are the main developing plot lines in this book? And you say, I'm not quite sure. Okay, you have a second chance. What about the motivations of the main characters? Not quite sure. The Hobbits seem to like lots of food. Nope, that's not correct. Okay, what about the motivations of the main character? I've done that one. What about the Dark Lord? You know, did he have a dysfunctional family? I don't know. Bang, the book closes. Sorry, you're not good enough to go along. You can read the first three chapters again, and if you pass next time, you can go on to chapter four. Nothing else does that except video games. It'd be like buying an album and downloading it from iTunes or something. You know, listening to, I don't know what, I can't think of a nice contemporary band. Every single band in the world has just gone completely out of my head, except Take That. Well, I'm Muse, because I just mentioned them, but I was trying to, you know, be contemporary. Anyway, Take That, you buy Progress, you listen to three songs, and suddenly it shuts down and says, okay, what key is this song in? What is the main signature theme tune of this piece of music? What would you say are the main instruments? I don't know. Bang, it shuts. Sorry, you can't listen any further until you've passed the first three songs. Video games are very weird. If you're not good enough, you can't go any further. But actually, a lot of Christians live their lives like that. They feel that they haven't passed this test, or they're aiming for this little test here, and one day, they're going to get to the ultimate. They're going to be with God. They're going to be sat in heavenly places. But in the meantime, they're failing a little bit each day, and they're getting a bit better, and, you know, things are going on. But each time you get a little bit further, it feels like computer says no. You can't access that greater glory yet. You haven't passed the lower level tests. How many people have ever felt like that or know people that live like that? They feel that they can't have all of heaven in their life. Actually, that's all of us in this room, because if we had all of heaven in our lives, everybody would know about it. Hallelujah. So there's a little bit of element of this in all of us. But what do the scriptures actually say? All right, let's have a look. If you've got a Bible, don't worry if you haven't. You can turn to it, although I'm reading from the Truth, so it might not be the edition that you've got. So it might be better to just listen anyway. Well, here we go. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Now he, that's God, has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places because he placed us in Christ Jesus. He's done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And this grace has been shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ Jesus has done for us. We don't have to defeat the level one monster or play through the level two guitar level to get to the ultimate. Because Jesus has already gone through. And in a lot of old adventure games, once you'd fought your way through, you at the end of each level, you got to the end of level creature and you had to defeat that. But Jesus has already got to the very end of the computer game and defeated the ultimate monster who was the devil. He's dead. He's done. He's finished. And you are at the end of the game. You're not fighting your way through to a place of victory. You've been placed in victory. Life is not a battle in that sense. You are placed and sat in heavenly places. In Psalm 46, it talks about battles and war going on all around. And in the midst of that, there's a verse that just says, be still and know that I am God. How can that be in the context of that psalm, which is all battle and disasters and all kinds of stuff kicking off around, and suddenly the voice of the Lord cuts through, as it were, and says, be still and know that I am God, or I am the Lord. Because we are sat in the place of stillness, the place of peace. We are already in that place of victory. We don't fight through every level every day. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you get over the fright, you know that you are sat in heavenly places from that very beginning moment. You are there by the mercy and the grace of God, not by your hard effort. This is very irritating and annoying to people that kind of want a little bit of credit for what's going on in their lives. Tough, you don't deserve anything. You deserve nothing. But Jesus offers you everything. He's already played the game. He's already got to the end. He's mastered Knights of Sidonia by Muse. He's got through the whole lot and he's right at the end. And he says, you come and join me. You sit here in my place because I'm going to play this game through you. Amen. And suddenly you can be a master at playing the game, to keep using that analogy. We're not desperately waiting for things to get better. We're already with the best.
Come on. Hallelujah.
This is church, the best. Not something hidden in a corner or something old and irrelevant. It is the best. It is the ultimate. It is God's plan for humankind on this planet. We have something. We are something that is totally awesome, totally amazing. And sometimes the Lord just wants us to lift up our heads and realize we've got to the end of the game. We're sat in heavenly places. We're already there, placed in Christ. Why did he do it? It says here. He's done it that we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are immense. Amen. Nothing, absolutely nothing can be compared to his glorious riches. Amen. Amen. How many of you watched the royal wedding? Yeah. Well, try that one again and we'll see how many people are really honest. You can feel a little more secure now because quite a lot of people put their hand up. How many people watched the royal wedding? Yeah, lots more. Hallelujah. Wasn't it great? Yeah, I really loved it. There was even a tear in my eye, I have to admit it. I thought, oh my goodness. Ah! It's wonderful. It did. It made you glad to be British. It was celebrating what is good. And it was actually wonderful because the whole nation was celebrating what? A marriage between a man and a woman and looking to the future. What a wonderful thing to be celebrating. How often is marriage so denigrated? And there we were celebrating this relatively young couple getting married and setting off. Hallelujah. Although it did make, I think, the entire nation smile when when William had to repeat the vow for richer for poorer. Westminster Abbey looked absolutely awesome, didn't it? In that, I've looked at photographs afterwards as well, and the glorious medieval architecture of the cathedral, and the genius of putting those trees down the aisle, and just everybody dressed up, the men looking far more prettier in their military uniforms than the women. Hallelujah. It just looked amazing. And the abbey there was filled with the rich and the powerful. But it's not got a patch on heaven. You know, I mean, if you manage to capture a little bit of the majesty off the TV, just think that is just filthy rags compared to what heaven is like. Westminster Abbey, those medieval architects, they did an amazing job. I think sometimes we forget what an amazing job they did of trying to represent the majesty and the glory and the enormousness of heaven. Can you imagine when most people were living in one-room huts or small, tiny wooden houses, to walk into that huge cathedral must have just been incredible. And we're going to get that feeling when we die and we go to heaven. You know, the other day I actually started to get quite excited about dying. I was thinking about heaven and I actually thought I'm really going to be looking forward to it whenever it is. I would prefer to be around quite a bit longer, but as long as the Lord dictates, I want his lifespan for my life. But I suddenly realized it's going to be exciting to die. Amen. You know, and we often have such a worldly view, don't we? And the thought of dying, we put it to the back of our mind. It is the most exciting event that is going to happen in our lives. And it's going to happen to all of us, well, unless the Lord comes back before then. Hallelujah. And we're going to see this amazing heaven that we can't imagine in it and with our minds now. It's just totally impossible. But there was Westminster Abbey, and it was filled with the rich and the powerful of the land. But the reality is, even in this world, because we are sat in heavenly places with him already, well, those of us here this morning that know Jesus, we are truly the rich and powerful in this land. Hallelujah. You know, we have more authority than the Prime Minister. We have more authority than Nick Clegg, but that probably doesn't surprise any of you. And Tony Blair didn't even get an invite. But if he knows the Lord, he'll be in heavenly places and he'll be far more rich and powerful than he ever was when he was Prime Minister. And something else that's just incredible, that we're the bride of Christ. Yes. And just get this in our heads, or get this in your head right now. You are more sensational than the Duchess of Cambridge in her glorious, beautiful wedding dress. I mean, she looked absolutely stunning. But you in your wedding dress. I know that's a difficult concept for the men, but bear with me. Some of the teenage boys just cross their legs. You are more sensational than she could ever look. And when Jesus sees you, he won't have his brother turning round at the altar to whisper to him, "She's looking good," or whatever it was that Harry whispered. Or, "She's not coming," probably, knowing Harry. When we stand next to the Lord, he too will look at us and say, "You're so beautiful." In fact, he does it right now. He's not waiting for you to get to the altar. "You're so beautiful." I believe, church, that a new church is emerging. They've got hold of what I've just been talking about. It's full of faith in God and what he can do. It's a church that's vibrant. It's a church that's alive. Come on, I'm describing you. It's a church that's passionate. Doesn't sound it at the moment, but I assure you it is. It's because I've gone quiet on you. It's a church that's audacious. It's a church that is outrageous. I think the church needs to be on the news a lot more for being outrageous. Amen. It may have been, and I don't mean the kind of outrageousness of Samantha, is it Samantha Cameron, not wearing her hat. I mean an outrageousness that draws people's attention. And sometimes it will be outrage, and sometimes it will be excitement. But the church needs to be outrageous in the eyes of the world. When Jesus came into Jerusalem and the children were cheering him, people were outraged because it was outrageous that he would accept all this praise and worship. And it's time the world notices this church. It's time. It's time to be audacious. It's time to be outrageous. It's time to be fearless. It's time to be a people of attitude.
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, sometimes with children, you say, you know, don't you give me that attitude. But church, we need that attitude. We need a little bit of, you know, a little bit of oomph, a little bit of knowing that we are sat in heavenly places and that we are sensational.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. There's nothing good in ourselves, but Jesus comes and makes us sensational. Not that we're better than the rest of the world, just that that's who we are and we want to share what we have for the rest of the world. It's a church that believes in God.
Yeah.
You say, well, I thought that was the basic requirement. Yes, but sometimes. It's also a church that knows that God believes in me.
Amen.
That's important.
Yeah.
God believes in you. You know, turn to the person next to you. Go on and say, God believes in me. Maybe we should make this a bit more personal, actually. Turn to another person, unless you've got to get up and walk across this whole floor. Turn to another person and say, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. And maybe we should say this as well. I like Jesus and Jesus likes me. And how about I believe in Jesus and Jesus believes in me? Now, it might be that sitting there, you say, well, I don't know if I do believe in Jesus. That's all right. He believes in you. He believes in you in the sense of he trusts you. Because he's already got a wonderful plans for your life. You say, I don't even know him. I don't even know if I believe he exists. Maybe. But he's still got great plans for your life if you're willing to accept them. Awesome plans. It's a church that knows God loves me, God likes me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what it says in the Bible. But how many Christians hold their head down? Or think they're not good enough. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, well, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've messed up. Yes, that's true. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, but you don't know what I'm like and I'm probably going to do this again. Yes, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, but I'll probably sin again tomorrow and I'm not very good at that. Yes, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you come into a place of realizing that you are sat in heavenly places, you're going to have a far less problem with all those issues you've just been going on about. Hallelujah. Jesus. I used the word the attitude. I remember Tom having an attitude, my oldest son. Hey, Tom, Dan, I taught a story about Tom instead of you. Dan had attitude. He had buckets and buckets of it. But he came out the womb saying, "Let me out, mummy, I'm here. What? I'm ready to take on the world." Tom came out saying, "Mummy, what can I do for you?" Different personalities. But when he was a young teenager, about 14, oh, he got some attitude. He used to be so rude, especially to his mum. Now, I don't recommend this, by the way. It's just what happened at the time, but it worked. And when he was 14, I was probably stronger in those days, and we'd had yet another session of Tom just being really, really rude to his mother. And I got really quite cross with him. "In your anger, do not sin." But what I did was, I just picked him up, literally, even though he was 14. We were in the lounge, and I threw him across the room onto a sofa. Like that. It was quite a small sofa. It was never quite the same again. And I said, "Don't you dare talk to my wife like that. Nobody in this house talks to my wife like that. Don't you ever do that again." And that was it. And he didn't. Because I very, 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 very rarely shouted at our children, or even when I was a teacher, did I shout. It was a very, very rare thing. Usually it had dire consequences when I did, because it was so rare. But he'd had a terrible attitude. And often attitude we associate it with being brash or cocky or proud. I'm not talking about that. And people would say, you know, you need to be humble, you need to be meek. That's what it says. But what is humility? Humility is believing God, not us, ourselves, what we believe. It's believing God above ourselves. It's a meekness. It's to meekly accept what God says about you. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." To disagree with that is actually the worst kind of pride. Because you're saying, my opinion of myself is more important than what the Bible, what God says. That's true meekness. Despite what we feel, we believe what God says. We meekly accept that despite everything around us and everything we can sometimes feel, that we are sat in glory, like we read earlier in Ephesians. In Christ Jesus, we meekly accept that the riches of his grace are immense, without measure. A humble person accepts what the Bible says about them, rather than arguing with it, rather than saying, "That's not my experience, that's not how I feel." No, humility says, "I'm gifted." Yeah. This church is gifted. Humility says, "I'm talented." Humility says, "I have a destiny. I have a purpose. I am in this world to make a difference." Yeah. Humility says, "This world would be a worse place if I wasn't alive." You say, "Well, that's a bit proud, isn't it?" No. Because if it was a worse place because you were alive, God wouldn't have made you. He made you to make it better. Core. Humility knows that you are a creative person. Humility says, "I'm an entrepreneurial person." You say, "How can you say this? You don't know me." Because you have Christ living in you, and I'm describing the Creator God. I'm describing Him. So that it is you. This church is creative. This church is entrepreneurial. And this is the new church that's saying these things. It's true about us as individuals. It's true about us as the body. This is why, take a good look at Scarborough when you leave the Stephen Joseph Theatre today. Because it's not going to look the same this time next year. And it's not going to look the same the year after that. Or the year after. Because we're here to see God move in this town, in this region, in the nation, and in the nations we represent here this morning. Some of you have come here today and you're from China and from other places. God has sent you here to equip you to take something back because he wants to see this destiny and this purpose worked out in your life. Hallelujah. You're not here by accident. It's amazing, isn't it? We've got people from China and people from America and people from Britain and people from other nations all gathered in Scarborough. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There's other people here today. You're from other churches. You're just visiting this morning. God brought you here this morning to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are creative, that you are amazing, that you are a world changer, that you are here to make a difference, that you are talented, that you are gifted. Hallelujah. Praise God. I only watched Doctor Who last night. This is the ultimate contemporary sermon today. Royal weddings, video games, Guitar Hero. And now Doctor Who. We need Jason Sharp in the room. Who sent him off to J24/7? See, none of you dared put your hand up that time. I'll admit to watching the royal wedding, but, you know, Doctor Who. Of course, it's full of dodgy stuff. There, in Doctor Who, over the past two programs, I don't watch it all the time, but we have watched the last two. They've been combating something called the Silence. You know, and it's supposed to be this evil controlling power that's been in the background for generations, sort of thing, which I'm not really interested in at the moment. But what I just want to, and when you saw the Silence, what you saw was just this horrible being with eyes and no mouth. There was no mouth, I suppose, to emphasize that they were called the Silence. And they were sinister and they were controlling. They were an abomination. And they were an example of what the church has been like. Trying to work in the background, trying to control, trying to manipulate. I'm talking just recent years, not throughout the centuries. And by and large, the prophetic, apostolic, bold, brave, adventurous voice of the church has been silent. But a new church is emerging. Yes. We are the new church! It's not to say the old church is, you know, oh, we've had enough of that lot over there. I'm not saying about this. This is just talking to us as the body. That's right. Hallelujah. This is just responding to what the Lord is saying to us at this time. And we are not going to be silent. Amen. What we have is good. Yes. What we have is precious. What we have is pearls. What we have is gems. What we have is gold. What we have is more magnificent than anything we could see on the television screen of the royal wedding. And we're going to shout it out from the rooftops. And we're going to tell our neighbors. And we're going to tell the people we work with. It is time for the church to be sensational.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is a good. That sounded very London. Here. Here is a good passage from the Bible. Now then. I love this. This is from Matthew chapter 5, okay? But it's from the Message. I love this. You ready? This is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Right. This is just what I've been talking about. This is Doctor Who and everything. Well, Doctor Who isn't actually mentioned. That would be a weird translation. Here we go. Ready? Ooh. Anticipating, yeah? This is the word of God I'm going to read to you.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we get so used to it. You know, this is the word of the living God that I'm going to read to you. How awesome is that? People have fought over this book that we've got in front of us. People have died to have this book printed. People have sacrificed their lives to take it to other countries. And we probably all got a copy in this room and probably more than one copy at home. It's awesome! And it might be on in your, a book like this, or it might be on an electronic device like this, but it's still the Word of God. I love the opening phrase here. I am building this up, yes. Because I want you to be saying, come on, tell me. I want to know what it says. Because we should be like that. This is the word of God. For you. This is it now. I'm actually reading it. First word is that. Let me tell you why you are here. How many people have you heard that ask that question? Why are we here? Yeah. Why am I here? Why did God put me in Scarborough or Northampton or Malton or China or Los Angeles or wherever you have been put here for this morning? Let me tell you why you are here, says Jesus. You're here. Are you ready? This is the answer. It's not 42. In joke for those that know. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Whoa. That's it. That's what you're here for. You're here to make it better.
Amen.
Are you doing it? I think I was saying it another week. When you turn up to work, are everybody thinking, brilliant, Mike's here today. The town hall is a better place because Mike Close is in the house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm not picking on him. I'm speaking it over him.
Yeah.
I'm sure people do think like that because he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When Steve Scott turns up for work, he walks in the building and people think, oh, thank God. They probably might even say that. Steve's here today. Because actually, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's why we are here. And we can turn it into doing missions and doing outreaches and all that kind of stuff. But actually, it just applies to our ordinary lives. Your family is a better place because you're there. Your student digs are a better place to live for everybody that's in the house because you're there. But there's more. Want some more? This little group down here do things. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. This is Jesus. I'll read you another translation in a little while so you don't get too scared. But it's accurate. It's all right. It's just a little bit contemporary. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public. I like that. Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and everybody else that's gathered here this morning, we're going public. We're going public with this, it says in this bit here. We're going public with this message. We're going public with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not hiding in a hole or even in the top of the Stephen Joseph Theatre. We're going out. Amen. Springtide is a marvelous opportunity to be part of what the church is doing. And let's support it. Let's get involved. If you've not already got involved in something, think about how you can be. Let's just be there. Let's serve the local church and let the local church get all the glory. Let's just be nice people.
Amen.
Let's bring out the God flavors.
That's right.
Let's be salt.
That's right.
Amongst the whole world.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. But as well as that, it's in our ordinary daily lives and in the things that we do.
Amen.
This is a season God gave of planting vineyards, new ministries beginning. Amongst us here. He gave that word very, very clearly. Martin Stringer, Pastor Martin, when he was here, he had it as a strong prophetic word at the beginning of a year, not knowing that I'd already got it written down to bring the following week. Exciting. A time of new vineyards. What does that mean? It means you take the little that God has given you and you plant it, and you will see a whole vineyard, and a vineyard bears much fruit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Without embarrassing her too much. But it will embarrass her a bit because she's like that. Gemma took hold of that word. She took hold of when she was a third year student that we should start something with students and young people. And what has happened? We see it's wonderful. It's awesome to have a lot of young people with us every week. It's what we're about. Hold your all generations. Why did it work? Because she took the little she had. She said, well, what, how many students are there in the church? I said, two, and one of them's Dan. So she married him and not Josh. Who was the other one? Hallelujah. There were others visiting at times. But it's not so funny if I tell it like that. Hallelujah. Oh, I was supposed to be reading the word. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. What a good scripture. That's Matthew 5:13-16, if you want to check it out yourselves. But it's good there in the message. I'm going to read it to you from the truth at the end as well, just to show you. It really is there. We have something to say, and we have something to do. We are here to see lives transformed for the better. I'm hope that as I'm speaking to you this morning, building upon everything else that God has given us, you're beginning to feel like the big cheese. Because you are.
Amen. Amen.
You are the big cheese in this area. Because God says you are. Not that you're superior to others. I'm not talking about that. But that you can feel good in yourself because you are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
We're a church of significance, people. We're a church that influences. We're a church that leads in culture. Let's lead the fashion. Why not? Let's lead music. I was really excited when we were in Italy. A young lady called Sarah Panicelli, who used to come to Go Generation and became a leader in Go Generation. So we've known her a long time. She's just gone to university or college, really, in Italy now. And she's gone to fashion. Study fashion. You're like a certain person not very far from me right now. I think that is absolutely amazing. She's received quite a bit of stick. I don't know if you sometimes get it. For a Christian being in the world of fashion. Because obviously the world of fashion is full. Absolutely full of sin and dirt and rubbish. That's exactly why the light needs to be there. It's exactly why we need the salt there. I think the church can lead the way in fashion. I think the church can lead the way in music. I think the church needs to lead the way in art. We are the most creative people on the planet if we listen to the Creator. This is a great church. I just want you to feel really good about being church. I know you're not all from here, but you're all here today. And we're all church. Thank you, Brian. You want to get up here? I like people responding, by the way. That's why they don't. We're a church that's got great relationships. Let's celebrate what's good. There's some great relationships in this place, great friendships. I know there are weaknesses. Everybody can point out the faults. But let's talk up some of the good stuff that God has done. We've got children and teenagers who love God. That's awesome. And they're not going to stop loving God as they grow into adults. There's wonderful cross-generational relationships. Old people and young people knowing one another. Yeah, we failed. There's failures here. We're all failures. But we're restored.
Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah.
We've fallen, but now we're standing.
Hallelujah.
And we are living attractive lives. I think we forget that. Our lives are attractive. I've got written down here things that I got this morning. Lives that smile, that are brave, that are resilient, that are passionate, that are strong, that are compelling, that are positive, that are prosperous, that are affirming, that are optimistic, that are successful, and are full of faith.
Hallelujah.
I'm just describing you guys.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is good. This is what we're walking in already.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. We want to see more and more and more and more and more, but we're already sat in heavenly places. We've already won the game. A generation is rising, and we're that generation.
Amen.
Whatever age you are, whether you're 6, 60, or 106, we're a generation rising. All you've got to be is willing to say yes.
That's right.
We're going in to take the land.
Amen.
God has given us every city.
Amen.
The giants are falling over with their heads removed.
Hallelujah.
This is a loud, bright, on show generation.
Yeah.
Dare I say it, we are, some of you will be thinking, oh, I don't like that description, but I'm going to say it anyway. We are an X Factor Britain's Got Talent generation. Some of you are thinking, that's not what I wanted to be described as. We are out there and on show. On the X Factor, they say, have you got the X Factor? Yes, I've got the X Factor, except that mine is shaped like that.
Yeah.
I've got the X in me.
Amen.
I've got the X that's the X in Xmas.
That's right.
Britain's got talent. And we're those talented people. We've got the talents. We've got the gifting. What we've got is life-changing.
Yeah.
Slowing down for emphasis. It's like a key change, yes. What we've got is powerful. What we've got is outrageous. This church, we need to be a house of wow. I like that. That came from Tom's Rules book. Relentless. A house of wow. I want this place, and I know you do too, to be a place where you can come and get a glimpse of heaven. Anybody that just joins us for a day gets a glimpse of what heaven's really like. If you're visiting today, I hope you're just getting a glimpse of heaven, of how awesome the Father is, of how much He loves you. All over Scarborough, in these times that we're living, all over the district, all over our region, the Holy Spirit is prompting people to come to church.
Hallelujah.
They just need someone to ask, often, or to tell them where to go. We have a wonderful place to meet in now. It's so easy to invite people to the theatre. They're expecting a show, and we'll give them one. We'll show them a glimpse of heaven. Be a church of wow. Many people, when they come first time, within 15 minutes, they've made their mind up where they're coming again. By the time someone gets up here and starts speaking, it's probably too late. It's who they've met already. What do you do to make this a house of wow? You, as an individual. What do you do after we finish in here? I think the next bit of church is just as important as what we do in here. I really, really do. I think the rest of the week is very important as well, but we're just talking about Sunday mornings. God has given us that cafe restaurant area as a wonderful resource because we need it. That's church.
Yeah.
Talking to one another, meeting one another. But if this is a house of wow for visitors, are you helping them to be part of it? When was the last time you invited somebody who was new back to dinner that Sunday? How daring is that? As it said in that passage, let's keep open house. I'm not talking about the host team. We have a host team because it's practical. We need people doing those things. But we are the host team. We're welcoming people into the family. What are you doing? It's your job. It's our job. Who have you laughed with today already? You know? Who have you smiled with? Who have you stood with? Maybe who you've even shed a tear with already? Who have you loved? Who have you hugged? Just your immediate friends? Or are we a house of, wow, I got a glimpse of heaven there? We're the architects of a culture that shouts out, God is famous. And we must build together a culture that seeks to embrace everyone who's seeking God. It's not just about Sunday mornings, but Sunday mornings are very important. It's also about how we contact people in the week as well. You don't have to be the pastoral team to give someone a phone call or invite somebody around for a cup of coffee or to go shopping together. Or to go for Yorkminster on a trip out. Whatever. Let's go back to Matthew 5, but from a different version. You ready? This is the word of God. Let's stand up. Because I'm going to finish with this. And as I read it, I'm going to read it slowly because as I read it, I want you to turn it into prayer for yourself and for us as a church. This is Jesus talking to you here on the 1st of May, 2011, at 1:45. Church, people gathered here this morning, you are to be the salt for the world. However, if salt is stale, it loses its taste. And what can you do to restore its saltiness? Nothing. It may as well be thrown away and trampled underfoot. You are to give light to the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden from sight. Neither do people hide the light from a lamp under a basin. No, they place the lamp on a lampstand where it can give light to the whole house. In the same way, your spiritual light is to be evident to all around you, so that they can see the good things you do. And then praise your Father in heaven. That last bit. Wow. In the same way, your spiritual light is to be evident to all around you so that they can see the good things you do. And then praise your Father in heaven. There is a song that I detest. You might like it. I apologize for not liking your song. No, I don't. It's an abomination. That's a good word. It goes like this. Don't you dare start singing it. Or I'll personally come and slap you. I am teasing, joking, for all those listening on the tape. There was a smile on my face. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. No, singing it! Is that you? I'll take a run up. That song is blasphemous. It is an abomination. The light in you is the glory of God. It is not a little light. It is immense.
Yeah.
It is enormous.
Yeah.
It is shining. Don't hide it under a bucket.
Yeah.
As it said in the Message version. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm getting all kinds of hints and quotes from the front row today. It's great. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We're going to finish with this prayer. We're not going to finish with no holding back. We could do rousing song, but almost let's just in prayer, let our spirit be stirred. This immense, amazing, glorious light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hallelujah. Doesn't fit the pentameter quite so well or whatever it is, but it's more correct. Jesus, we thank you for your word to us this morning. I know for me, Jesus, the most challenging thing this morning has been the reading from Matthew chapter 5. Just hearing you speaking to us, you saying, let me tell you why you are here. You telling us to go public. Father, stir that faith in us that sees that we are not hidden, that we are not under a bucket, but that we really are hidden no longer, but on a hill. Father, I thank you that prophetically you placed us on a hill in Scarborough and you placed us at the top of a tower. We thank you for all those steps we have to walk up every week. Hallelujah, because prophetically we are on a hill and we are shining. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray that you stir us as we go into the springtide mission. Lord, it may not be that everything is done in a way we would love to do it. But Father, we pray that we would have a servant, non-judgmental hearts just to be there and to be the salt amongst the whole church and the whole world as we go out there. Father, you've called us to be light, not to moan, not to complain, but to be servants of all. Father, enable us to be enablers this week. Father, may this mission, and when we're together, even just with the other congregations, Father, may those congregations be better in the right sense because we're there. Father, may we bring your life and your light. And then as we do that, Father, we pray that as we give out burgers, as we go to joint meetings, as we do the business people's breakfast, as we go down to the bike thing on North Bay, Father, we pray that we would be light in the world. It's not that we need to be made light. We are light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may those words, we're going public, burn in our hearts, in our daily lives. Father, we pray that this church would become very, very public, that people would know about Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, that people would come seeking us, but more importantly even, Father, you would cause us to be brave, to be bold, to have that ability, if you like, to just ask people, would you like to come with me on Sunday? We're at St. Joseph's. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.